Daf test. So we got the last three lines of Chesem and Beis. The Gemara quotes from a Mishnah. The Mishnah appears in Maseches Demai. Demai is something that a person doesn't know if the owner took Chumas and Maisers from, or really Maiser from. So when you buy something from a farmer, since the farmers were assumed to be Am Haaretz, they didn't take all the different Chumas and Maisers. You have to take certain things that we assume that they didn't take. Certain things we assume that they did take, certain things we assume that they did not take. So what does that mean? So Gemara explains, quote this Mishnah, Tanan Hasam, Hanachtomim, the bakers, Lo Chayiv Oso Chachamim Lafrish, Ela Chumas Maiser, V'chala. The bakers were only required, when they bought their wheat and their produce from the farmers, they're only required to separate Chumas Maiser and Chala, but everything else they would not have to take. And the Gemara is going to go through one by one, why not? But just look at Rashi before you go ahead and turn the page. Rashi writes, Hanachtomim, Halochin Tfu Me'am Ha'aretz Limchor Pas Lashuk, the bakers would buy the grains from the farmers who are Am Ha'aretz. Lo Chayv Alein Lahalos Ma'aser Sheni Shel Demai L'Yushalayim. They were not required to separate Ma'aser Sheni to bring it to Yushalayim. So just to go through the summary, the way it works normally, if a person has a farm, so a farmer needs to take Truma, he gives the Truma to the Kohen, he takes Ma'aser Rishon and gives it to the Levi, and depending on the year, Ma'aser Sheni, if it's a Ma'aser Sheni year, he takes Ma'aser Sheni and brings it to Yushalayim to eat. Or if it's the opposite year, 3 and 6, he does Ma'aser Ani and gives the Ma'aser Ani to a Ani instead of Ma'aser Sheni. That's the three basic separations. And then there's Chumas Ma'aser, which is taken from the Ma'aser Rishon. You take another Ma'aser of that. The Levi takes a Ma'aser of the Ma'aser Rishon. That's called Chumas Ma'aser, and he gives that to the Kohen as well. So the Rashi explains here that the baker does not have to take Ma'aser Sheni from that which he buys from the farmer. Ella Chumas Ma'aser Shu Echad Mimea. V'chala yitain l'kohen. Only thing he has to take is 1/10 of the 1/10 that normally goes to Levi. He gives a 1/100, if you will. He gives that to the kohen. Plus, he has to give chala as well. Aval shar kol adam, anybody else who buys from the farmers, hitilu alav lahalos ma'aser sheni shel demai l'yushalayim. They were required. Someone else, a regular person who bought grains from the farmer, would have to take ma'aser sheni to Yushalayim because there's a strong suffolk that the farmer did not take ma'aser sheni. Umayser Rishon, Umayser Ani, Mafrishon Oso, Veinosin. These things he also has to separate, but he doesn't have to actually give them to the Levi. He doesn't have to give them to the Ani. The reason is because there is no Isser to eat, to eat Chuma, or Chumas Maiser, that's Chiyah Misa. If one would eat, a non-Kohen would eat Chuma, or Chumas Maiser, or Chalav, it's a Chiyah Misa. But to eat Maiser Rishon that goes to the Levi, or Maiser Ani, that goes to the Ani, if one were to eat it, it's a violation of Gezela, but not a violation of Misa. So there's a klal, whenever it comes to Suffolk Mamon, we say, Amotzi Mechavero Lafaraya. So if I'm separating Misa, I don't know if the farmer took it out, maybe he did, maybe he didn't. So I'll separate it, I did that Frasha, but if you're the Levi, you're the Ani, prove to me that that farmer didn't take it already. Maybe I'm right, maybe he did take it already, maybe he didn't. But it comes to Chumas Maiser and Chala, which is a very serious thing, it's a Chiyah Misa, I'm not going to eat it there, you should just be safe and give it to the Kohen. Rashi continues, and he says, "V'nachtom chaver askin." We're talking about a learned, a practicing nachtom. Umitochshu rogel limchor kol shah. Since he's always buying and selling, and baking and selling, hekilu alav. We were leaning on him. Sheino tzarch lahafrish alav ma'aser sheni shel demai la'alos yushalayim oliftos. We were very makel with respect to ma'aser sheni. So that's the basic background. So now the Gemara is going to go through step by step of pretty much what we just said. So the Gemara says again. Only those two does a baker have to separate. Bishma, I understand why Truma Gedola lo. Why did he not have to separate Truma Gedola? Normally, Truma Gedola, the way it works is when I'm a farmer, I have my grapes, I give 1/50th, 1/40th, 1/50th, or 1/60th, I give to the Kohen. That's Truma. We assume that the farmers actually did separate the Truma Gedola. Why? The Tanya, the Brisa says, going on to Daf Test now, the Tanya, the Fisha Shalach Bechol Gvul Yisrael, they sent out a whole survey throughout all the borders of Eretz Yisrael, and Rosh Ein Mafrishin Ela Truma Gedola Bevah, they found out that the only thing that the farmers did was Truma Gedola, that's it. But they didn't do Ma'aser Rishon, they didn't do Ma'aser Ani, they didn't do Ma'aser Sheni. Why would they do Truma Gedola? So Machlok is showing them, either because Truma Gedola has a Chiyah Misa attached to it, so they took it very seriously, or it's very easy to separate Truma Gedola. Why is it easy? Minat Torah, all you really need to do is separate just one kernel of wheat, one kernel of barley. You could have thousands, millions of whatever it is, and just one would be sufficient to separate it. Now the Gemara suggests 1/50th, 1/50th, 1/60th, 60th are recommended amounts, but Minat Torah, one kernel will exempt the entire huge pile of grain. So it's easy to accomplish, or because it's a Chiyah Misa, that's the one hafrasha that the farmers did. So the Gemara says further now, Maaser Rishon, Maaser Ani Namilo. Why would the bakers not need to separate these two items? Because Hamotzi Mechavero Levaraya. Prove to me, it's not, we don't say for sure that the farmer definitely did not separate Maaser Rishon, Maaser Ani. We don't know if he did. We know for sure Bevadai he separates Shuma Gedola. That was 100%. But everything else, there was a suffix. Maybe yes, maybe not. So the regular person like you and I, when we buy from the non-observant farmer, we have to assume that he didn't take it. We separate Maaser Rishon, Maaser Sheni. But we don't have to give it to the Levi. Prove to us that he didn't separate Maaser. Look at Rashi, two lines down. Rashi says Hamotzi Mechaveir Lav Haraya Michi Afrashe. When you separate the Maaser Rishon and Maaser Ani Vafke, and you remove the Chalos Shemit Maaser Mishum Tevel, it's no longer an Iser Tevel. All that's left is an issue of stealing the Levi's food. Let's say I'm a Levi, so someone gave me Maaser Rishon. I could give you to eat Maaser Rishon. There's no issue. A Chuma, you can't give Chuma to a non-Kohen. A Levi could give Maaser Rishon to a non-Levi. So there's no issue in eating it. The only issue is stealing my food if I don't give it to you. But we don't know if I really own it. Maybe when the baker separated the Maaser, it wasn't really Maaser because the farmer already took Maaser. So it was really just the Chulin. So we don't know whose it is, so therefore it's a suffix, mamon hamutal b'suffix, which we apply hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. So then, just look at finish with Rashi. Rashi says, chutz mitchumas meiser, except for chumas meiser, shebetoch meiser rishon, that's within meiser rishon. The way it works is that you give meiser to the levy. Let's say they're 100 grapes. So meiser would be 10 grapes. You give 10 grapes to the levy. Now, the levy needs to give of that a tenth, which is called chumas meiser, to the kohen. So one grape would be one-tenth of 10 grapes. He gives that to the kohen. So that meiser rishon, you give shebesoch meiser rishon, also yitain lekohen sheish iser vavon misa b'achilasa. That part, that one-tenth of the meiser, would be subject to an iser and chimisa. And therefore, the farmer, the baker, would have to give that away, chumas meiser, even the meiser rishon he could keep. He needs to take one-tenth of the meiser to give it to the kohen. Ula Levi va'ani, says Rashi, Yamar havi raya. If you want my Maaser Rishon, you want my Maaser Ani, I tell the Levi, I tell the Ani, prove to me, havi raya, shlo iser am ha'aretz, shlakachti mimena. Prove to me that he didn't give Maaser Rishon. And then if you prove to me he didn't give it, then I'll give you this happily. If he already gave it, so this is mine. This is not Maaser Rishon. This is not Maaser Ani. So Gemara then says further, so now we know why you don't have to take Shuma Gedola. We know why you don't have to give Maaser Rishon. You don't have to give Maaser Ani. And the Maaser Sheni, what about that? Nifreshev v'niske v'nichle v'yushalayim, says Rashi. Nifreshu v'naski, separate it and bring it up. Shere yeshbo iser lo sucha lechel b'sharecha. So why don't we tell the baker to separate Maaser Sheni and bring it to Yushalayim? Because you cannot eat Maaser Sheni outside Yushalayim. Lo sucha lechel b'sharecha, in your own gates. Only in Yushalayim can you eat it. Yafrishu kadei lasakin tivlo, separate it. So you can eat the remainder, so it's not tevo. You don't lose anything by doing this. Maaser Sheni, the owner gets to eat on his own. So what's the loss? Tell the baker, separate Maaser Sheni, and there's no tevel to the remaining part, and bring Maaser Sheni up to Yushalayim and eat it over there. Why don't we suggest doing that? We only told the Nachtom that he has to separate Chumas Maaser and Chalav, but why not Maaser Sheni, asks the Gemara. Again, Maaser Sheni, Nifreshu, V'nisku, V'nichlu, Yushalayim. So the Gemara says, Amar Ula, the reason why we didn't make him separate Maaser Sheni is because Mitoch Shepar Hedron, this is why we bring the sugi now. Shemitoch shepar hedron halalu choftin also kol yud beis chodesh. The kohen gadolim who bought the position every year, and they die every year, whoever buy it. So they were very, very, corrupt. And they were choftin also, and they would beat the bakers. Kol yud beis chodesh. Vomrim lehen machu bezul, sell it for very cheap prices. And it became a big to-do, and they'd lose money. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, choftin also hanachtomim, they'd beat the bakers. Kol yud beis chodesh. Mishan Lashana, Hamamunam Mechskadshim. Each year we knew the Kohen Gadol changed over, or it could be even referring to the ministers, the governors. And Machbidin Limtzol Alilos Legavos Mamam Chain Mechskadshim. Each year they think of other ways to collect money, and they take advantage of the Nachtomim. So he wanted the Nachtomim to avoid making their way to Yushalayim. So we were makel that you don't have to go to Yushalayim to Maaser Sheni because of the corrupt individuals who were there. So Gemara says, therefore, lo achichunu rabbanon, they didn't make them go up to Yushalayim, and that's why they exempt from Maaser Sheni. And then the Gemara finally says, my parhedjin, what exactly is a parhedjin? So the Gemara says, it's pursi, it's different ministers. So this parhedjin is not referring to the Kohen Gadol that would switch, but the various ministers that would change every year, they would take advantage of the bakers. So he'd say, stay away from Yushalayim, because otherwise they'd cause you a loss of money. So that's the whole background when it comes to the Nachtom. Again, we only brought that in because of the parhedjin. So now the Gemara goes on to a whole long discussion. It's part of this is a famous Gemara but why the Beis Mikdash was destroyed, Bayis Rishon versus Bayis Sheni. So the Gemara says as follows. Much of Amar Beis, as you see, is a long daf. It's a much of it's a gadata. So the Gemara explains as follows. That Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chanan Rabbi Yochanan, my dich said, what's a pasuk when it says, Yiras Hashem Tosif Yamim, those who fear Hashem will have additional days. Ushnos Risham Tik Serenu, but the years of the evil will be cut short. So what does that mean? Yiras Hashem Tosif Yamim, those who fear Hashem will have long years. Zeh Mikdash Rishon, She'amun Arba Meos Ve'esu Shanim, the base of Mikdash, Bayis Rishon was lasted for 410 years. Below Shim Shubo Ela, Shmona Asar Karim Gedolim, 18 Karim Gedolim served over the period of 410 years, which is pretty impressive that they all had a lifespan that working as the Karim Gadol. In contrast to, Ushnos Rishoyim Tiksarenu, the years of the evil will be cut short. Zemik Tasheni, She'amad Arba Meos Ve'esim Shana, lasted for 420 years. V'shim Shubo Yosef Mishlosh Meos Kwanim, more than 300 Kwanim Gedolim worked there, which means they all did not work for a very long time. And the Gemara says further, V'tei Mehem, removed from them Arbaim Shana Shashima Shimon HaTzadik, he worked for 40 years there, in the base of English. Ushmonim Shashima Shiochanan Kwan Gadol, that's another 80 years. And Esther Shashima Shishmael Ben Pachi, 10 years of Yishmael. And Amila, others say, Achad Esrei Shashima Shreb Elazar Ben Charsim, 11 years that he worked as a Kwan Gadol. After that, if you do a bit of a math, if it's 40 plus 80, it's 120, plus another 10 is 130, another 11 perhaps is 141 now, so it turns out there's less than 300 years left to work there. Each Kohen Gadol worked for less than a year after those three or four first Kohanim Gadolim, because as we described, every year they'd buy the position and they would die and wouldn't live out the year. That was the what it means in the Pasuk, Rinshnos Risham Tikrenu, that they're going to be very short and abridged. So Gemara says now, Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Tursa, Mipnei Ma Harva Shiloh. What was the reason Mishkan Shiloh was destroyed after the Mishkan was brought to the Midbar and brought into Eretz Yisrael? It rested in the Shiloh. Why was it destroyed in Shiloh ultimately? Because it had two matters involved in Gilui Arayos, and they were disgracing Kachim. We'll see the source in just a second. But an interesting explanation here as to what the connection was. Ben Yehuda says, what's the connection of these two Averos to Shiloh? So since Shiloh was considered in the Chalik of Yosef at Tzadik, the Gemara Megillah tells us that when Yosef and Binyamin met each other, they cried in each other's necks, the Pasuk says. The Gemara asks, how many necks did Binyamin have? And the Gemara says the necks was a reference to the Beis HaMikdash, the two Bati Mikdash in the Chalik of Binyamin, and the one Mishkan that was in the Chalik of Yosef at Tzadik. So Shiloh was in the Mishkan, and Shiloh was in the Chalik of Yosef at Tzadik. And therefore, since Yosef at Tzadik, the two areas, they explain that since there was a Shiloh, Yosef and the connection to Arayos, the struggle he had with Arayos, that's why one of these Averos were Arayos. Number two is there's a special din. If you remember the Mishnah Maseches Megillah, that while in Yerushalayim, you're only allowed to eat Kachim within the walls of Yerushalayim, there's a special din by Shiloh. You're able to eat Kachim wherever you saw Shiloh from. So there's a certain din of eating Kachim there. So these two Averos correlate to the nature of Yosef at Tzadik and to the nature of Mishkan Shiloh. Now, the reason why the Shiloh, you're able to eat wherever you could see, is also connected to Yosef, because Yosef had the ability, he was protected from Ayin Hara, so the Mefarshim explained his ability to see far and protect him far connects back to Shiloh. So Ben Yehuda says these two Averos of eating Kachim and of Gerayos connects to, again, Yosef at Tzadik as well. So how do we see that these two Averos were present in the times of Mishkan, both Gilui Arayos and the Bizayon Kachim? The Gemara goes on to bring proofs from Gilui Arayos. Dichsev, it says, Ve'eli Zakein, Eli was an old man, Me'od, V'sham Es Kalasha Yasin Banav L'Chol Yisrael. He heard what children were doing to Klai Yisrael. Ve'esha She Yishkivu Nes Anashim Atzobos Pesach Almoid, and he was sleeping with other women. So Gemara says, so that was the proof of Gilui Arayos. V'yafo Gav Damar Rabbi Shmuel Ber Nachman Yamar Yochanan, even though it says, Kol Omer B'nei Eli Chatu Einu Elach Toa, those who say that B'nai Eli were involved in sin, they were mistaken, they were not really involved in sin. Nonetheless, still, the Gemara says, Sheshu es kineim miha, they delayed the bringing of the women's karbanos. So when a woman were to give birth, there's a carbon yoledes, as we know, and they delayed the bringing of the carbon yoledes, and since they delayed that, and the women were delayed in being with the husbands when they went back home, mala alehen kasav kilo shchavim, it was considered as if they were with the women, they weren't actually with them, but that this delay gave that impression. That's why we call it Gilui Arayos. Look at Rashi in the top of the page here. Rashi says, Sheshias Kineim, they delayed the bringing of the Kineim, the cane, the Shluach HaKein, if you will, the baskets of Karbanos for the Yoldos. Shayu Mevios Bimleos Yimei Leidasin, when the days of the Leida, last week's parsha, was full, Leidasin Litar, and they came to be Tower, so Leachol Kachim, when women were Yoledas, they had to bring a carbon, and when they became Tower, they were now able to partake in eating Kachim. Behem Hayu Bale Geos, the Bnei Eli were Bale Gaiva. and how you misrash them, and they were very lazy and slow in hakravas and bringing their karbanos. Ubenashim mamtina sham, and the women would wait there ad shiakrivum until they saw that carbon was brought. Umishalos melachzer melamkomam etzabalim, and they delayed going back home. Umivalin esanashim bepuri rivya, and therefore they were delaying the fulfillment of the mitzvah of puru urvu, and that's why we consider it as if they were involved in gilu erayos. So now the Gemara says further: how do we know there's bizayon kachim, that they disgraced the eating of the kachim? So the Gemara explains as follows. It says, "Dechsev in the pasuk, gam b'term yaktirin." Before they offered aktirin a chaylev, before they actually burnt the chaylev of the karbanos on the mizbeach, uvan nar hakohen, a young kohen would come to the owner of the karbon. Ramar leisha zaveach, he'd say to the person who was bringing the karbon, "Tina basa litzlos lakohen, bring me the meat that's going to be roasted that I'm supposed to get as a kohen." V'lo yikach mimcha basar mevushal kimchai, they wouldn't take it cooked; they'd eat it raw. They were very impatient; they wanted it right away. The Yomer, and the older Kohen, or the older person bringing the carbon, Elav says to the young lad, Ha'ish kater yaktirin b'kayom ha'chelev. So then he says, wait for the carbon, the fat, to be burnt. V'kachlecha, then you can eat it. Kasher tava nafshcha, then you eat it afterwards. I mean, the din is, you can't eat the basar until the fats were burnt yet. But they want to take the meats before the fats were burnt. So they told the Kohen, just wait a little bit. Wait till we burn the fats, and you'll get the basar all you want. V'amar, the boy says back to the older Kohen, the older Zoveach, he says, Amar, lo, not true, I'm not going to listen, I'm not going to wait. Ki'ata, titen, give it to me right now, I want the basar right now, I'm not waiting. Vim lo, if not, lakachti v'chazak, I'm going to grab it from you, against your will. Vatihi, chatas hanarim gedolim od, it was a very terrible avera, certainly a disrespect and an incredible lack of patience. Me'od es p'nei Hashem, ki natu anashim es minchas Hashem, they're fighting about the karbanos. So this was the proof that it was a bizayon kachim as well. That these were the two avers that caused the destruction of the Mishkan Shiloh. So now the Gemara says, once talking about Mishkan Shiloh, let's discuss the base of Mikdash, the Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni. Mikdash Rishon, Mipnei Ma Charev, what was the reason why Bayis Rishon was short? Mipnei Shlosha Dvarim, Shayu Bo Avod Zara, the Gilarayos, and Shvichas Damim. Because they violated the big three avers in the times of the Bayis Rishon. Avod Zara, the Chsivit says in the Pasuk, Ki Katzar Hamatza Mistareya. The matzah was a bed, a mattress, was too short, was katzar. Mistarei was too short for stretching out. V'amaseicha tara kiskanes, and the cover of the bed was too tar, was too narrow to for a person to curl up underneath it. So what does this pasuk mean? My katzar meita hamatzah mistarei. What does it mean the bed was too short to stretch out? So Amar Rav Yonasan, katzar matzah zeh, this bed, this place, this location, the base of Migdash, was too short. Mistarir alav shnei reim kecha. There's not enough room for 2 liters, if you will. There's not enough room for a Kadosh Baruch Hu and Avodah Zarah, which implies that this was a time of Avodah Zarah. So that's what he explains. Hamaseicha tzara kiskanes, that the cover was also too short to curl up within. Amar Rav Yishmua bar Nachmani, kimati Rav Yonasan lahai kura bachi. Rav Yonasan reached this pasuk, he would cry. Amar, he says, man dechsev, the one who says, be konis kaneid mehayam, that he was able to gather all the waters in the world, now suddenly he gets very short and says, nasiz lo maseicha tzara, now he can't be in the same room as Avodah Zarah. Kadosh Baruch Hu takes up the whole world. And we see from here, this is a reference to the presence of Avodah Zarah, caused the Kadosh Baruch Hu Shechina to be removed. So that's the proof that there was Avodah Zarah in the times of Bayis Rishon. What about Gilei Arayos? The Chassid says in the pasuk, "Vayomer Hashem, Hashem says, Yan ki gavu b'nos Tzion, that the girls of Tzion, the girls of Eretz Yisrael, were gavu, were bali gaiva, but tilachnin the tios, they'd walk with a sticking their garon, their necks sticking out, umisakros einayim, and they would haloch, they would walk staring at the men, but tafof tilachna, and they would walk in a floating manner." Well, the Gemara is going to describe all this. Ubraglem takasna, and with their feet, they would cause some type of venom to come out. So, what does this mean? So Gemara Darshan's Yan ki gavu b'nosi, and they were very big bali gaiva. Shumalchus aruka b'tzad k'tara. They would walk. A tall woman would walk next to a short woman to show how much taller, how greater she would stand out, so that she would be noticed by the men. But tilachna and the tuyas garon, she'd walk with her neck sticking out. Shumalchus b'komas gufa, standing up straight with great pride and catching attention. Umisakros einayim, and they would stare. Tavu malion kochla einayim, they would put a lot of makeup around their eyes to attract the men. Haloch v'tafof tilachna, they would walk in a floating manner, which meant shayu mahalchos akev v'tad gudal, they'd walk like, you know, one foot in front of another foot slowly, again catching attention. Ubragleyam takasem, with their legs, they would shoot out venom, which means Amar Reb Yitzchak shayu mevios more v'arf parsimon umanichas b'menalem, they'd take some type of scent, smell, and they put it on their shoes. Ukshimagios eto bachur, you saw when they got to some young men, Boatos, they would kind of stamp their feet. Umatizos alem, the perfume would come out. Umachnisen bam yetzahara karas bikos, they would shoot out this yetzahara, this venom, into the men. This is what took place in the times of Bais Rishon. So this was the indication of the Gilei Raos that was very much present in that time. And finally, Shvichas Damim, how do we know murder was present as well? The Chassivit says, V'gam dam naki shavach menashe harbe mod, he spilled the blood of the innocent, adashem milei as yushlaim pelapen, until the borders, holy Yushlaim is filled from end to end with the innocent blood that was spilled because of murder. So that's all Bais Rishon, the big three, were what caused the Beis HaMikdash to be destroyed. Aval Mikdash Sheni, Shei Oskim B'Torah, they're involved in Limud HaTorah, Uve Mitzvos, and fulfillment of Mitzvos, Ugumiyas Chasadim, all of that, Mipnei Machar. So why was it destroyed? They were doing wonderful things. Because Mipnei Shayis Abo Sinas Chinam. Because it was Sinas Chinam, La Mercha to teach us that Sheshkula Sinas Chinam Kenegesh Shlosh Averos, Avod Zara, Gilei Raos, Vishvich HaZaman. Sinas Chinam isn't that bad. It's as bad as the big three. The Maral points out that Bais Rishon, which is a time of Ashra Shechina, so the way you cause Ashra Shechina to go away is through Tumah. Tumah is the antithesis of the Shechina. So these big three Averos are all considered Tumah, so that caused the separation of the Shechina. The Bais Sheni, where the Shechina was not so sure, it was not so present, but the strength of Bais Sheni was the Achdus that they had, so what broke the Achdus was Sinas Chinam. So while Bais Rishon, the emphasis was the Shechina, so Tumah caused this, the removal of the Shechina. Bais Sheni, where the emphasis was Achdus, because there's no Shechina really, it was the Achdus of Kaisel, it was the Sinas Chinam that unfolded the Achdus and ultimately destroying Bais Sheni.
So they had Sinas Chinam and Gemilas Chasadim. So it's like a little...
Yeah, it's an excellent point.
It's
yeah.
Different people, meaning Sinas Chinam wasn't everyone, but it was enough to be a problem, whereas other people really were.
Yeah. It could be. Another answer might be the Shem Yishmuel that says something along the lines of how could it be that Rabbi Kiva's students died because Shalonagu covered Zebazet. Rabbi Kiva himself stood for Vaftalech HaKmilcha Zeklal Gabot Batorah. How could there be such a difference between Rabbi Kiva, Ava, and his Talmidim? So Shem Yishmuel writes somewhere that there's difference between Ava and Kavod. Ava is when you love someone who's just like yourself. Kavod is when you respect someone who's different. So they love people who are like themselves. So perhaps they did chesed to those who they loved, those who are on the same team as them. But those who are different, they disrespected, that's where Sinas Chinam comes in. So it's easy for us to love everyone who's like us, in our shul, who davened like us, who dressed like us, but people who are different than us, who have a different hashkafa, that's much harder to love, and maybe that's the Sinas Chinam, or maybe there's maybe different levels of it.
Burned all the grain in Yerushalayim. So there was a tremendous Sinas Chinam because they hated each other.
Yeah, in Echanan, we were trying to figure out how could that jive with there being Gmilas Chasadim.
And part of the problem was, I think, they stayed without any food because they had food for many, many years and they burned it to force
right.
them to fight.
Yeah, but so that just shows a Sinas Chinam, but doesn't answer the question of how could there be Gmilas Chasadim if there's Sinas Chinam. So perhaps there's two different groups. So then the Gemara says as follows. Gemara says halfway down the Amud here, Risham Hayu, they're really Rishayim, these people, but they did have a bitachon. You have people who are, people sometimes have these inner conflicts where they could keep certain halachas and other halachas. Mamash bal bitachon, but the midos are incredibly off. So Gemara says, also in the Mikdash Rishon. So let's talk about what took place in the Bais Rishon. So said, the Chassid, it says, by Bais Rishon, which was a time that was very corrupt as well, Rasheh b'shochad yishpotu, the head judges would judge based on bribery. V'chaneh b'mechir yaru, and the quantum would give a teaching based on being sold and being bought. U'neviyeh b'kesev yiksomu, and neviim would give prophecy based on money. V'Hashem yishanu, but yet they would still rely on Hashem. Leimor, halo Hashem b'kibenu, lo sava olenu ra, Hashem will take care of us, nothing bad will happen. So you have such a steer where they wouldn't judge, they wouldn't prophesize correctly, but in the end of the day, they trusted in Hashem. Lefikach, therefore, hevi alem hakadosh baruch hu shalosh gzeros, because these three averos, the judges, the quanim, and the neviim, hakadosh baruch hu brought midah keneged midah, three punishments keneged them. Keneged shalosh averos shebiyadam shenemar, it says with regards to the destruction of the base of Mikdash in Yerushalayim lachein biglachem, because of these three averos, tzion tzadeh secharesh, they're going to plow over tzion. The Yerushalayim entire, it's going to be a desolate place. Bahar bais levamos yar, the bahar bais is going to turn into a forest. So Gemara says, Mikdash Rishon, Lohaya, Basinas Chinam. Are you telling me that Bais Rishon only had the big three, but they got along with each other nicely? There's no Sinas Chinam in Bais Rishon. V'Hakshiv doesn't say, Migure El Cherev Hayu, Es Ami, those who feared the sword, literally, my nation, Lachain Tzapok Ayarech, they therefore hit their leg. What does that mean? The Gemara Darshins, Amar Rebbe Lazar, Elu B'nei Adam She'ochen V'Shosen Zemzeh, people who sat and ate with each other, had nice meals with each other, and yet, the dokin zedzeh b'charabos b'shebelshonim. They used their daggers of their tongues to describe Lashon Hara. So it wasn't referring to cherev literally, it was referring to the usage of the tongue as Lashon Hara. So that certainly was present, the Lashon Hara and Senschim in Bayis Rishon. So Gemara says, no, that was actually reserved, hahi b'nisiyeh Yisrael havia. The regular Hamunam actually got along nicely, they had the good midos, they didn't talk Lashon Hara, but amongst the leaders of Am Yisrael, they were the ones who were described as El Cherev Hayu, as Ami. The Chassid, it says in the Pasuk, Zak V'Hil Ben Adam, they would scream out and describe a person, Gi Ha'isa V'Ami, he was in my nation, and the next part of the Pasuk says, B'chol Nisei Yisrael, this description of calling out and talking about other people was only amongst the leaders of Klal Yisrael. As the Gemara Darshan V'Tanya, Zak V'Hil Ben Adam, Yachalaka, one might think that they would talk Lashon Hara, but every single person would talk. Tamal Omer, he b'chol nisiyeh Yisrael, only amongst the leaders of Am Yisrael would talk about Lashon Hara. So yes, it existed in Bayis Rishon, but only in a limited fashion amongst the nisiyeh Yisrael. But amongst the Hamun Am, during Bayis Rishon, Lashon Hara was not commonplace, as opposed to Bayis Sheni, where Lashon Hara and Sinas Chinam was the cause of the destruction. So the Gemara then says, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar, Damri Tavaya, both of them hold him. Rishonim shenisgala avonam nisgala kitzam. The earlier generations, whereby their averas were clear, it was known, meaning the Gilei Rael, Shvichas Damim, and Avodah Zarah, you couldn't hide those averas. It was very clear and blatant. So therefore, Niskala Kitzam, their end, their kates, was also revealed. They only were exiled for 70 years, right? After Bayis Rishon, they're exiled 70 years until they built Bayis Sheni. As opposed to Acharonim, Shlo Niskala Avonim. The Acharonim, whose averas were not revealed, the Sinas Chinam was in their lave, in their heart, it was inside, you couldn't notice it, Lo Niskala Kitzam, their end was not revealed, and we're still sitting in such a galus. It's a unrevealed, it's a hidden type of kates. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Yochanan says, Tova tzipornan shel rishonim mikreisel shachronim. Better are the nails, which are not the, you know, the most inferior part of the body. Even the nails, the lowest part of the body of the earlier generations of Bayis Rishon, are greater than the kreisel, than the stomach, which is like the, you know, the wealth, the best part of the achronim. That shows you how great the rishonim were, or how low the achronim were. Again, the nails of the rishonim were greater than the guts of the Acharonim. Now there's an interesting gra here, if I remember correctly, the gra points out that, the Medrash already says this, that the four galios that are connected to the four animals listed that are tum in the Torah, that are Neves and the Chazir and the, I forget the other two right now, but he points out what's unique about the Gamal, because there are four examples of animals that have one simen, but not the other simen. So the pig has a kosher simen, it has split hooves, but it doesn't chew its cud. Its kresa was puzzle. But the tzipor is a tzipornan, is actually kosher. The gamal are neves, the tziporin, which is apostle, it's not split, but the inside is kosher. So he explains that the early generations, the first three galios, that's connected, there are neves and the gamal, where nisgala averam, their psul was revealed because they did not have split hooves. You could see from the outside that the gamal is not kosher, our neves isn't kosher, that's the first three galios. But the last galios, which is connected, the chazir, whereby on the outside it looks kosher. The outside looks kosher, it has split hooves, the pig. But the inside, where it's pasul, the kreso is pasul, that was niskala, so he connects the sugya to the chazir. Again, it's referring to the stomach, referring to it as not niskala, that's connected the chazir, connected the pig. So then the Gemara says as follows. So granted, okay, so right now we have that the Rishon, the early generations, were greater than the second generation. So Amr la Reish Lakish says, Adrav, I would say the opposite. The Achronim Aradif for the later generation was actually better than early generation. Why? How so? Yet even though in the second generation, the second base of Migdash, they are very much persecuted amongst a very strong, severe, aggressive government, yet they are still able to accomplish incredible heights and feats in Torah. That shows you how great the Acharonim were. Amar Leih, Rabbi Yochanan says back to him, Bir Tachiach, look at the base of Migdash. Because Bayis Rishon, there is Ocha, Shechazul Rishon, the Bayis Rishon, after they were destroyed, they were Zocha to have the Bayis Sheni. But the second generation, after the destruction of the Bayis Sheni, were not yet Zocha to have the Bayis Shlishi yet. So you see that the Bayis Rishon, the Rishonim, were greater than the Achronim. So Shalulas Rabbi Elazar, they asked Rabbi Elazar, Rishonim Gedolim or Achronim Gedolim? Who are greater? The people of Bayis Rishon or the people of Bayis Sheni? Amalem, Tenu Einechem, Babira. Look at the Bira. I mean, the Bayis returned back to the Rishonim. Bayis Sheni was returned back to the Rishonim, but Bayis Shlishi has not been returned back to the Achronim. And Ikadami, others say, Amr Lehem, Eidechem Bira. The same idea, your testimony is found within the base of English. Meaning, the fact that Bayis Sheni returned to the Rishonim, but Bayis Shlishi has not returned to the Achronim, tells us that the Rishonim were even greater than the Achronim. Gemara tells the Maisa now, Reish Lakish, Havasachi Biardeni. One time he was swimming in the Yarden, and Asa Rabba Bar Barchana, and Rabba Barchana came, and Yav LaYada handed him, gave a hand to assist him to take him out of the Yarden. So Amrele Rish Lakish says, I mean, Rish Lakish is very sharp, and he says, Eloka Sanina Luchu. So Rabba Bar Barchana came from Bavel. He says, your God hates you. People of Bavel, he hates people from Bavel. How does he know this? The Chassid says in the Pasuk, Imchoma hi nivne aleh tiras kesef. If you build a wall, then you'll be like a silver. Vimdelasi natra aleh luach eres. But if you're going to be like a door, so then you're going to be like a cedar tree. What does that mean? So Reish Lakish says to Rabba Bar Barchana, who came from Bavel, Imasisim atmechem kechoma. If all of you from Bavel, when it came to the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, and there's a Galus Bavel for 70 years, had you all returned back with Ezra after 70 years, like a chom, like a strong wall, a wall that's intact and fortified, valisim kulchem bimei Ezra, you would have returned back, nimshaltim kekesef, we would have been compared to silver, shein rakov shalabo. Silver doesn't go bad, doesn't decay. So, but achshem now, shalisim bediglasos, you guys walked up like doors, which was not very strong, you know, some openings along it, many gaps of who stayed, who went back, so you were very weak. Nimshaltim keres, you're now compared to wood, and wood, sharak of shalpo, that it's subject to decay, and therefore, since you didn't return back, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates you. So my eres, why, what's the comparison to cedar? Amar ula sasmagar, which is some type of worm that burrows through the wood, it shows its certain weakness to the wood. My sasmagar, what exactly did that refer to? So Gemara explains that Amar Rabbi Abba Baskol, it refers to the Baskol, that Kidatanya Mishimesu Nevim Hachorim Chagai Zechariah Malachi, the last three Nevim, when they died, there's no longer Nevu anymore, Nistalku Ruach HaKodesh Mi'Yisrael, Vadaim HaYimushamshin BeBaskol, they're able to still use a Baskol. That just shows you the weakening of the generations. There was a big downfall from the times of the Bais Rishon to Bais Sheni. And Reish Lakish is saying, had you all returned like a chom, like a strong fortified wall, we would still have Nevuah, we still have the Shechina, but because you didn't, you came back like weak doors and made of wood, therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates you. So the Gemara then says, wait a second. Something seems to be off here by this conversation between Reish Lakish and Rabba Bar Barchana. What's off? Reish Lakish, mi mishtai bahadei Rabba Bar Barchana. Would Reish Lakish engage in conversation with an individual like Rabba Bar Barchana? Ma Rebbe Elazar, Demar Dar Yisrael, who is the head, the greatest rabbi, the chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael, Hava, will have a Mishai Reish Lakish Bahadei. Reish Lakish would not converse with him. Demand the Mishai Reish Lakish Bahadei, Bashuk, Yavle, Iska, below Sade. There's a cloud people had. Whoever Reish Lakish would talk to in the open marketplace, in the field outside, they know he's a trustworthy person and you could do business without having any proof he's a good person. Reish Lakish is very particular who he'd talk to in the shuk, apparently, whatever the reason is. So if he spoke to the person, you knew this guy was a chashu person, you could do business with him. And even though that was the high standards, Reish Lakish would not converse with Rebbe Elazar, even though he's a Demar Dar Yisrael. So if he wouldn't talk to the Demar Dar Yisrael, certainly, Bahadei Rabba Bar Barchana Mishtai, would he talk with him in the public area? He was also a great tzaddik, but he wasn't as great a tzaddik, apparently, as Rebbe Elazar was. So what's this conversation taking place between Reish Lakish and Rabba Barchana? Normally, Reish Lakish would just turn around and ignore him. So Gemara says, Amr Papa. Papa says, it must be Shadei Gavra Benayel. Let's switch one of the people here. Meaning, either has to be Reish Lakish Have Uziri, and Ziri was considered an incredible tzaddik that Reish Lakish would talk to, so it must have been Ziri and Reish Lakish, this was the conversation. Oh, Rabba Bar Barchana Hava Rabbi Elazar. Reish Lakish was not here part of the conversation. It was either Rabba Barchana and Rabbi Elazar, or Reish Lakish and Ziri. And the Gemara finishes off, Kiyasa Lakami Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish went to his brother-in-law, Rabbi Yochanan, his Chavrusa. He told him what had happened. He told him that he called Rabba Barchana, Rabbi Elazar, whoever it was, or Haziri, he told him that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates him because they did not return back. Rabbi Yochanan tried correcting Reish Lakish, and he says, Amar Leh, says, Lav Hainu Taima. That's not the reason why. The reason why the Shechina didn't return to Bais Sheni has nothing to do with the people coming or not coming. Inami Shlika Kula Bime Ezra. Even had all the people returned back with the times of Ezra, says Rabbi Yochanan, Lohava Sharya Shechina B'Mikdash, there would not be the Shechina resting in the base of Mikdash. Dichsiv, it says, Yaft Elokim Liyefes. V'yishkon bolei shem. Pasuk at the end of Noach. What's the pasuk telling us here? Afa gab the yefes elokim liyefes ain ashchina shara ela bolei shem. Even though there's this this beauty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Bais Sheni built by the Persians, in the end of the day, the shchina only rests in olei shem. Only if it's built by olei shem, the shem is referring to Klai Yisrael. So Bais Rishon, which was built by Shlomo Melech, that's olei shem. The shchina was shara in it, but since Bais Sheni was built by Yefes, by Persia, then therefore it was not Zocha to have the Shechina rest in it. Just look at Rashi, the top line of Rashi here. Ava Pisha Yefes Elokim L'Yefes Shezachu Parsayim Livnos Bais Sheni. The Persians were Zocha to be the ones building Bais Sheni. Ein Shechina Shoreh Ela B'Mikdash Rishon Shebanish Shlomo Sheban Mizaro Shoshem. So nothing to do with how many people came back. has to do with who are the ones building the Beis HaMikdash. Let's quickly recap. We discussed in Amud Aleph here about the Nachtomim, what they'd have to separate, what they don't have to separate in terms of the Truma Gedolah and Bais Rishon and Bais Sheni and all that. We went through those sugyas and we discussed how the contrast between Bais Rishon and Bais Sheni, how Bais Rishon only had 18 Karnim Gedolim over the span of 410 years, while Bais Sheni, they had 420 years, you had over 300 Karnim Gedolim, because after the three or four big Karnim Gedolim, which were 40 years and 80 years and so on, the others never finished out the full year because they paid for their job, end up dying. Then we discussed what caused the destruction of Shiloh. The Gemara explained because of the Bizarre Kachim and Gilei Razmi went ahead to bring rise for this. What brought the destruction of Bais Rishon were the big three. Bais Sheni was the Sinas Chinam, and then we described the Lashon Hara that was present in Bais Sheni, because Sinas Chinam, Bais Rishon, there was only Lashon Hara amongst the leaders, the Nisei Yisrael, but not amongst the Hamon Am. And then we discussed that the which was greater, Rishon, Bais Rishon, or Bais Sheni, and we concluded, look at the Beis Migdash, that it came back for the Rishonim. It must be that the Rishonim are greater than the Achronim. Then we finally had this discussion between Reish Lakish and someone else, describing about why they didn't come back, which caused the Shekhinah not to rest. So Rabbi Yochanan responded, it wasn't because people didn't come back, rather, it was because it was built by the Persians, and not by Shlomo HaMelech. Okay, everybody have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow.